The book of Matthew, chapter 13. Everyone listening, everyone paying attention, settle down real good right now. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to go a little slower tonight than I normally do. Do a little about 3/4 preaching, 1/4 Bible study. Message is going to have a lot of doctrine and some blessing and some teaching in it tonight. Matthew chapter 13 will bring you a message on the subject, the pearl of great price. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45. There's some great parables in the book of Matthew that Jesus, the King of the Jews, gave to His people, the Jews. Now, if you don't understand them right, you're going to come out believing the craziest things in the world. And there's a lot of false doctrine being preached in America and around the world because people take the book of Matthew and get it all twisted up. You have got to understand the doctrinal implications in the book of Matthew, or you're going to come out believing some weird stuff. And so tonight we're going to look at it and rightly divide the word of truth and tell you what this parable is talking about. Matthew 13, number 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I'm preaching to you on this pearl of great price. In this scripture tonight, there's several different ways of looking at this scripture. You hear it preached different ways by preachers. You hear that the merchant man would be a sinner, and he'd be seeking goodly pearls, hunting something to make him happy. And when he found this one pearl of great price, that he would give up the whole world in order to get this pearl of great price represented salvation. That's not the way I'm going to preach it tonight. I guess you could do it that way. I don't really think that's what the scripture is teaching. Tonight we're going to look at it like this. The man in this scripture, the merchant man, will represent the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going after something very precious. When he finds one pearl of great price, he buys it. That's going to represent the church that he bought and paid the price with his own blood. And he gave his life up in order to purchase that one pearl of great price. Now, as we do a little background on the subject of pearls, everybody in here probably knows that a pearl is a precious stone. Now, in the Bible, people, and especially a woman, is compared to precious stone. When you deal with precious stones in the Bible, it's always representing people. Not denominations necessarily or groups, but it's representing people. For example, Proverbs 31:10 said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." The Bible said in Proverbs 3:13 that wisdom is more precious than rubies. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that there's gold, silver, and precious stones is what's going to make it through the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible tells us in Malachi 3:17 that when the Lord comes back on the judgment day, that He's going to make up His jewels. The Bible tells us in Zechariah 9:16 that those pearls are going to represent the stones in a crown of a king. And the king will be crowned one day and have pearls around in his crown. So tonight, pearls in the Bible represent people. Represent people. Pearls don't represent doctrine. Pearls represent people. You say, "Well, why'd you say that, Brother Danny?" Because, turn your Bible to Matthew 7 just a second. I want to show you something. Matthew chapter 7. You always got some super duper spiritual person that knows about three verses of scripture, and they come up to you when you're street preaching. And they come up to you when you're street preaching and they say this. Anybody that's ever been street preaching or giving out tracts or went out witnessing has had some super saint come along and quote Matthew 7 to them where they said, you boys ain't doing no good out here preaching because the Bible said not to cast your pearls before swine. And what they're saying is that you're wasting your time when you're out street preaching because all you're doing is taking them pearls, representing the scripture you're preaching, and casting out here before these swine, talking about lost people. I know a guy that got in big trouble out there saying that because this woman sued him for calling her a swine. That's right. And he said, all I was doing was quoting a verse of scripture. And the judge said, you call this woman a swine? And he said, I'm just quoting scripture. I'm sorry, but that ain't what that verse is talking about. What's Matthew? Is it verse 6? Matthew 7, 6, is that right? What does it say? Give not that which is what? Holy unto the dogs. Now everybody knows what dogs represent in the Bible, right? Me and you, before we got saved. Gentile dog. You may not like that, but like it or not, you are pictured as a dog before you get saved. After all, we lived like dogs, most of us, and God used the right description when He called us dogs. All we are is an old stray dog, and as you heard me preach before, if you're saved, you're not lost. You ain't nothing but a found dog. That's all you are. You was lost, and now you're found. Now listen, what does that verse say? Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their foot and turn again and rend you or something like that. Isn't that right? And boy, that verse said there, he said, don't cast your pearls before the swine. And people come up to you and they'll say, I don't believe in that street preaching. You boys are wasting your time because all you're doing, I've even heard preachers, I ain't had no more sense than to say that. You're just casting your pearls before swine. What you're doing is accusing Jesus Christ of misusing pearls because He preached on the street. You're accusing Jeremiah and Isaiah and the apostles. Listen, let me tell you something. Let's settle this thing once and for all. Every preacher in the Bible was a street preacher. Every one of the Old Testament prophets preached on the street, as far as I know, at one time or another. There is absolutely nothing wrong with a man standing out in the open air marketplaces and lifting up his voice and declaring the Word of God. You say, well, Brother Danny, don't that mean don't preach to people that don't want to hear it? No, that ain't what it means at all. That ain't what it said. Now listen, pearls in the Bible represent what? People. They represent people. Saved people. What does a swine represent in the Bible? According to 1 Peter chapter 2. False teachers. Amen? Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine. If you want to really get scriptural with it, and I ain't going to argue with you, but if you want to get right down to the scripture with it, that verse is saying, don't take a bunch of new converts and tell them it's all right to go back to their liberal denominations and turn them over a bunch of swine to teach them false doctrine. Amen? Amen? Them swine will turn again and rend you. I heard people have these great big crusades and stuff, and I'm not against them. I'm all for getting people saved and all of that. But I tell you what, boy, when they say, no, don't come out of your harlot churches. Stay there, and maybe you can be a witness for Christ. That's not right, brother. That ain't what the Scripture teaches. The book said, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. You people say, well, now that I've got saved and got on fire for God, I belong this liberal church where the preacher don't believe the Bible and don't believe in the virgin birth and he don't believe in the literal deity of Christ. Shouldn't I stay there and be a witness? No. You ought to get your hat off of that rack before rust comes on you and icicles drip off of your nose and get somewhere where the gospel's being preached and where the souls are being saved and lives are being changed. You will dry up and sink with the rest of them and the swine will mess you up. Amen. That's right. Boy, I tell you, being called a dog's bad enough. I sure would hate for God to call me a swine. Amen? Now, so in the Bible, when it says don't cast your pearls before the swine, it's not talking about not witnessing. People use that as an excuse to keep from witnessing. People use that as an excuse to keep from knocking on somebody's door. That ain't what that contradicts other scriptures, and the scriptures can't contradict themselves. And so tonight, brother, I want to preach to you about this pearl of great price. Represent the church of the Lord Jesus. And that merchant man was up there one day and he went diving. And that diver had to come down in the bottom of this old sin-cursed ocean that you and I live in and get that one pearl of great price. Quickly tonight, let me give you six things quickly about this pearl of great price. If you're making notes, it starts out like this. Number one, a pearl is the only stone that is a living organism. You hear me? A pearl is the only stone. God knew what He was saying when He compared the church to a pearl. A pearl is the only precious stone that is a part of something alive. For example, precious stones are hard and reflect light. If you know where you find a diamond, you find a diamond compressed in inorganic matter, and it's pressed in rocks and rock strata. You remember how Superman used to make them diamonds? You know, put coal under 1,000,000 pounds of pressure for 1,000 years and all that, and you got a diamond. He said, boy, that come out real shiny. That thing is just cold and dead and dry in them rocks. Ruby is the same way. Sapphire is the same way. Any precious stone you can think of tonight is formed by in rocks, and it's dead, but not a pearl. When you get to a pearl, that pearl is formed inside an oyster shell, and it's right up against the body of that oyster. It's got to be on something alive. It is a living organism. As a matter of fact, I read an article that was hard for me to believe. Somebody may verify this, I don't know, but I read it. And it said that if a woman has genuine pearls, and she has a string of pearls, that if she don't wear them regular, that they'll lose their color, and they'll lose their luster, and that pearls have to have contact with warmth and human flesh. Is that right? You rich ladies, tell me if that's right. Thank you. Anybody else? Is anybody? I'm just kidding. Is that true? Raise your hand if you think, all right, there's several. They say that something, matter of fact, I heard about this one store where they sold these pearls, and they let the girls that work in the store wear the pearls, take turns every day or so that them pearls will keep their luster and keep their shine. And they said, if you just hang them pearls up there and just let them get cold and dry, that they're not near as beautiful. They've got to be something alive. I thank God tonight the church is like that also. There's lots of assemblies in this world tonight. They have assemblies. They call them the PTA or something, or PTO nowadays. And all the parents of the school get together, and boy, they're just there. That's a ruby. They have other organizations like Woodmen of the World or somebody, the Kiwanis Club, or maybe they'll have the fire department meetings, and maybe there's all kinds of organizations like Mad Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and this chapter of this group or that group. Oh, there's little meeting houses all over the world tonight where people meet, and those might be precious, but they're just cold, dead stone. But there's one group tonight that meets that is an organism. That's a part of a live body. And thank God tonight, that is the church of Jesus Christ. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. Thank God tonight, we're in something that's alive. We're in something that's got heat. We're in something that's got life inside of it. We don't just have cold, dead meetings with cold, dead statistics. There's something, there's blood flowing in this group. I mean, there's life beginning to move. The church is like a pearl in that it is an organism. Did you know tonight that they have they said that years ago that pearls were hard to come by, and they had to get oyster after oyster after oyster, many, 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 many oysters in order to find one pearl. And they said suddenly that the market was flooded with pearls. And they got to wondering, how come there's so many pearls? And these rich people that were buying all these pearls said, how come they're so plentiful now? Now, as I'll get to it in a minute, you'll notice that a pearl, you may not know this, but a pearl is formed. Here's this little oyster down there. I don't know what oysters do, but they're down there somewhere wiggling around. I don't even know if they can move or walk or what. I guess they're just a little blob waiting on us to get them down here at the seafood place. And boy, I tell you, them things is good if they're fixed right. I mean, and I don't want none of them raw ones or nothing like that. I mean, if you ain't got no teeth or something, that's a good thing. You just, you don't have to chew them up or nothing. But I like them if they're fixed right. I like oyster stew, and I like fried oysters. I really do. And I know some of you that really bothers you and you don't like them, but that's one purpose they have. But they're down there on the bottom of the ocean. You know what causes one oyster to have a pearl in it? A little piece of grit or a little piece of irritant sand is going to get inside there and get between their little old muscly, soft, slimy body and that shell. And it gets in there, and an oyster can't reach over and pick that thing out. He just has to live with it. And so he wiggles around in there, and his body makes something come off, and it makes a little coating around that thing so it won't hurt him. It'd be just like putting a cucklebur in the bed with you, and you didn't have no arms or legs, and you just wiggle around like that trying to get, and you lived in a shell or something, you lived in a sleeping bag, and boy, your body would secrete some kind of fluids or some kind of, and it coats it, see? And then it coats it again so it won't hurt. Then it coats it again. And that thing turns into a pearl. That's where a pearl comes from. And they found that out. And so these smart guys, they got to going down to the bottom of the ocean, and they would deliberately put something inside the pearl shell, like a little piece of glass or a little buckshot or something like that. And these folks found out about it, and they said they started x-raying them things. Now when somebody brought one in, they said, they look at it through the x-ray, you know, and if it had just a piece of buckshot in it or a piece of glass, they'd say this pearl's not as valuable because it's not a naturally formed pearl. They called them false hearts. And they said that pearl is not real because it has a false heart. It looked good, it looked real, but it was not real. And as you go across the land and country today, we've also had a flood of churches suddenly hit the market. And boy, they look good. They have big crowds. They have gospel singing. They have. But if you look real careful, you'll see that a lot of that stuff has a false heart. And it's not real. It's not really formed the way a real pearl is supposed to be formed. A pearl is the only stone that is an organism. Let me say secondly this evening, a pearl is formed by suffering. As I said, a diseased secretion by injured oyster in the bottom of the ocean. It's suffering. When that matter enters a substance called called NACRA, whatever that is, forms layers around it, and sometimes it takes years and years and years in order for that body of that little pearl to be formed. And so, boy, that thing gets bigger and bigger, and it's formed by suffering. And the church is like that also tonight, folks. It's formed and is being formed by suffering. You see, we're down here on the bottom of this old ocean of sin, right deep in this old world of sin. When you really think about it, we're down here on the bottom of the ocean, and the atmosphere is just like the ocean waters that cover our bodies and soul. But the Lord came all the way down from heaven, and He started something down here, and He went through suffering. Jesus went through suffering to form the church, and He's being suffering tonight. His body is suffering tonight when matter enters it. Heaven, hey, by the way, did you know that's why heaven's gates are made of pearl? Why didn't God make heaven's gates out of diamond? Why didn't God make heaven gates out of rubies? You know who's going to live in heaven? The church. We're going to go up there, and there's going to be gates. One big giant pearl swing open. Why did God let those gates be made of pearl to represent the suffering that Jesus went through in order to buy us and pay the price for our sins, and also the suffering that the church, listen, the church is being formed right now, layer after layer after layer after layer. It's being persecuted by this old world. It's being pushed around and mocked and made fun of. But God's forming a pearl down here in this old sin-cursed world that one day He'll present as a precious jewel to go in the crown of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Number three, a pearl is white. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. When you get Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 in one hand, you turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 with the other hand. And the Bible said there in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, most of you know that scripture. He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as what? Scarlet. They shall be as wool, though they be, or white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We know what God done. When God made that pearl down there, He formed that thing and made it white. That's a picture of the church. You were red like crimson, red like old scarlet. But when the Lord saved you, He made you white. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7. It talks about that righteousness. And boy, how that we're going to look one of these days when we're going to look just like Him. When the Lord comes and takes us out of this old sin-cursed world, Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says this, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and all the earth which pierced Him. And the Bible tells us there about how that every eye and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. That suffering caused us to be white. That suffering caused us to be white like He is in verse 14. In verse 14 it said His head and His hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And His eyes were like a flame of fire. Brother, you to the world tonight, they look at us and they see all kinds of fault. They make fun of the church. They mock the church. They laugh at us. But when God looks at us, He sees us as white in the blood of the Lamb. And He's going to present us one of these days absolutely white as snow. I was telling this girl the other night down there when I was talking to her. You know, I told you the lady that was all confused about salvation. They took me outside and they said, she wants to talk to you. And I said, okay, sit down over here, ma'am. And I began to talk to her. And she said, I don't understand about being saved. And I said, all right, say that's you right there. You know what the Lord does when He saves you? Here's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lives a perfect life. He never sinned. He's perfect, absolutely white, without spot. Now, when you get saved, you get in Jesus Christ. So God puts you in Christ. You're just like this. God don't see you no more. He sees Jesus. You know that song says, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. When people look at you, they see that. When God looks at you, He don't see nothing but Jesus Christ. That's why you ought to shout tonight and rejoice. Thank God. Thank God. He don't see us like we are. He sees us covered by the blood. And boy, you know, the devil comes up to God and he says, God, did you see what Danny Castle done? And the Lord says, no. And the devil says, look! Look at him down there! Look what he done, God! Look! The Lord says, I didn't see nothing. Why, he's a sorry slowdown! Hypocrite I ever seen! Did you see him sin? The Lord said, no, I didn't see him sin. When I see him, I see perfect. When I see him, I see my son. When I see him, I see the blood. Boy, I thank God for the blood. Amen. You know, the devil, he sees our faults and runs his mouth. And boy, the world sees our faults and they run their mouth. They're inspired by the devil. When some people see you, they run your mouth about your fault. But I'll tell you, when the Lord sees you, He sees you in the blood of the Lamb. The church tonight is white. But let me say, fourthly tonight, I'll hurry along. Number four, a diver has to go down and get a real pearl. Yes, sir, he sure does. He has to go down and get that real pearl. Ladies and gentlemen, and I don't reckon, I've never went skin diving or nothing, but they tell me that pearls don't just float up to the top by theirself. Somebody has to go down there and get them. And that old diver, he'll get on his always old Lloyd Bridges clothes on, them big flippers on his feet, you know, put them goggles on them old tanks on his back, and boy, here they'll go. And they'll go down, I don't see how they stand it down there, but they'll do it. And they'll flop off of a boat like a frog man, you know, have old, them old rubber suits on, and you'll see them going down through there. And boy, they're going down through there like that. And them bubbles are going up. And they look all over the bottom of that ocean. And all of a sudden they'll see one. And maybe they'll crack that thing open and find a pearl. That little pearl would lay there from now on unless that diver come down there and got it. And then he's going back up. Boy, he went down there where man had not known before and got that pearl. I can see tonight the Lord Jesus Christ one day as he's up in heaven and he's talking it over with God the Father. And God the Father had a plan. And God said, son, there's a bunch of people down there, a bunch of old dogs going to live in North Carolina one of these days. I love them. I'd like to do something for them. I can see Jesus as he got started putting on his gear. Can't you? And boy, he started putting on his diving gear and said, Father, I'll go. I'm going down there to the bottom of that old sin-cursed ocean. He said, I'm going to be fishers of men. And boy said, I'm going down there and get them. And he dived out of glory and come down to there. That's where the Bible represents it. The Bible represents water being up yonder in outer space. Do you know that? The Bible said in the book of Psalms that there is water above the heavens. Amen? And what me and you are living in tonight is like a balloon with a little spot in the middle of it with water on it in the middle of a balloon full of air at the bottom of a swimming pool. That's right. And the Lord comes down through the sea of glass. It's frozen up yonder because it's so cold. And you know what a man does in Alaska or somewhere when he's going fishing? He cuts a hole in the ice. That's that black hole going up from the north coming down here. And boy, he comes down. And he comes down here and comes through the womb of the Virgin Mary. And he looks around here and he walks this earth for 3.5 years. And he's finding oysters around, getting pearls. And he started that thing. And it's been forming on the bottom of this ocean ever since the Lord left. And he put a hook in it right there, went back to heaven. And all the rapture is the Lord reeling in the fish he's caught. That's all it is. One of these days the Lord's going to go shroom, like that. And it's, oh, whoa, here we go. And we're going up through that hole. That's the Lord cutting the eye. That's why people that ain't saved ain't going. They ain't on the hook. The bait's the Word of God. When you heard it, you got it like that, you know. And the hook got inside you. And the Lord's going to yank you out of here one of these days like the Lord did when he was a diver and went after that pearl. Well, not only that, number 5. A pearl cannot be divided. Do you know that? A diamond, you can cut a diamond in two and have two diamonds. But not a pearl. If you cut a pearl, it's worthless. Isn't that something? Man had a great big diamond like you. Boy, them diamond chippers, you know. Ding, 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 ding. And split that diamond up. Boy, that'd be a job, wouldn't it? Nerve-wracking. And splitting them diamonds and sell both of them. You split a pearl, it ain't worth a dime. A pearl cannot be divided. Thank God tonight. What a picture of the church, folks. God, listen, God didn't let pearls form in oysters by accident. Everything God does, he didn't compare us to a pearl just to be talking. God had a reason for it. A pearl cannot be divided. It's one round unit. There is no such thing as splitting a pearl and having two pearls. It just won't work. Now, when the rapture comes, let me refute a false doctrine tonight. There's a doctrine going around today. Now, you don't hear much of it about around here. You're sheltered. We're really in the arms of the Lord here in this part of the country. But if you went out west and up north and down south, different parts of the world, and there's a few trickling in around this part of the country, that the church is divided into two groups, and that the people, turn to Hebrews 9 while I'm saying this, and the people who are ready to meet the Lord when he comes will be the only ones that go up in the rapture, and the rest of the saved people will have to go through the tribulation. How many of you have ever heard that talk? Raise your hand. Some of them say it on the radio. Now, most of y'all ain't never heard that, but it's just going on. There's books being written, and they're saying that only the faithful ones that are saved will go in the rapture, and the rest will stay or go through the tribulation. And I'll show you where they get it. Hebrews 9, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 is where that false doctrine comes from. And if I remember it right, Hebrews 9:27 said, but as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this to judgment, the next verse said, what? Right. So Christ was once offered for sins of men or something like that, and unto them that look for him will he appear the second time unto salvation. So what they're saying is, there's millions of saved people down here, see? And a lot of teachers are teaching this. And if you're really walking with God and looking for him, when the rapture comes, he's just going to appear to them that's looking for him. Ain't that what he says? Unto them that look for him shall he appear. What about them that ain't looking for him? It says they'll be left behind and go through the tribulation. Now what these people are doing, they're saying there's a saved bunch of people down here. And the ones that are really right with God and looking for the Lord are going to be raptured out. But the ones that ain't, even though they're saved, and they may be a little carnal or a little worldly, will have to go through the tribulation to be purged and get right before the second advent. That's false doctrine. A pearl, hear me? A pearl cannot be divided. When the rapture takes place, every saved individual is going. We are the body of Christ. You will not split the body of Christ. That's what they call the split rapture, or ruptured rapture, as some preachers refer to it. Which means if you're living right, you go in the rapture, and if you ain't, you're still saved, but you have to go through the tribulation. Hogwash. A pearl cannot be divided. Every saved man, woman, boy, and girl, brother, well, is in the body of Christ. And all the body of Christ. In the age of grace, all that stuff is in there. Is the priesthood and Melchizedek and the millennium and all that stuff at the end of the tribulation. That's got nothing to do. You know something? At the end of the tribulation, those that look for him, he will appear without sin unto salvation that second time. You remember them virgins? You remember them virgins in Matthew 25? Where five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish, and five of them went out and was looking for the Lord, and the other ones got left. There's Hebrews 9:28. Hebrews 9:28 has nothing to do with Christians before the rapture of the church. It deals with Jewish saints and proselytes during the tribulation looking for the second advent of Jesus when he comes at the end of the tribulation. A pearl can't be divided. You know what Jesus told Paul? When Jesus spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus, what did Paul say after he got saved that he was doing? I was persecuting the what? Church of God and wasting it. Paul, before he got saved, persecuted the church. And what did the Lord say when he met him on the road? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Amen? The Lord said, when you're down there persecuting my body, you're persecuting me. When a man puts his finger against the church, he's persecuting Jesus Christ. That's what he told Paul. Why are you persecuting me, Paul? Pearl cannot be divided. You say, well, Brother Danny, what about all these old Christians that ain't what they're supposed to be? Let me tell you something tonight. Some of you ain't going to like this, and it may take years for you to understand what I'm getting ready to say. So I don't fall out with you if you don't get it right now. It takes years of studying and praying. When I first got saved, I didn't get it either. Because when you first get saved, you got this thing in your mind of them that's living right goes in a rapture, and them that you just can't imagine God rapturing somebody that ain't living right. But the longer you're saved, and the more you study that book, the more you begin to realize that God has a people down here, and everyone that belongs to God is going out of here when Jesus comes. You say, you mean tell me if you're doing something you shouldn't do? Listen, brother, listen. Do you know anybody in the world that's living a perfect life? Has anybody in here went the last week without sinning? Would you stand up? If you have not sinned in the last week, would you stand up? You say, well, Brother Danny, yeah, let's hear it now. Come on. They ain't none of us. If you're going to say only them that's living right, they ain't nobody living right. If you're talking right, nobody's living right. They ain't nobody but one person ever lived right. That was Jesus Christ. And you're right with God when you trust Him, you're inside of Him. Now, I know what you mean by living right, and I preach that. I think you ought to live the very best you can, live as close to God as you can, live as holy as you can, and all of that. But if you're going to get it right down to the nitty-gritty and say only them that have no sin in their life's going in the rapture, man, you're way off base, boy. I mean, everybody that's saved, God is a part of the Lord's body. The Lord ain't going to take part of His body up to heaven and leave the other half of His body down. He ain't going to amputate His legs and arms and stuff and leave part. Now you go down there and go. His body will not suffer the wrath of God. See? I can see them old backs. You might bounce off of the planets while you're going up. But you're going. Now, backslider going, bing, bang, bang. But you're going, brother. If you're on the hook, you're going. When he reels this thing in, you're going if you're on the hook. Pearl cannot be divided. We'll study it sometime. I've taught it a lot of time, but there's a lot of new people in here. We'll study it sometimes how about the rapture of the church and where the Bible teaches about the rapture, the tribulation, the millennium, the second advent of Christ, eternity. All of that stuff is interesting. You just remember, you are a part of the body of Christ. In the age of grace, you are not Old Testament Jews. You are New Testament Christians, the church which is His body. We're a pearl. One unit that can't be divided. I'll tell you how you know that. Did you know them saints that died yesterday and the day before and the day before? We're all going to get our glorified body the same time. They didn't get their glorified body yet. I've heard people say, oh boy, Grandma went to heaven last week and got a glorified body. She didn't either. Amen, boys? Amen. Amen. They don't get their new body. We all get our body at the same time. Where's the scripture? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. When the Lord comes in the rapture, their souls with the Lord right now. Their bodies in the grave. At the rapture, He calls that body out of the grave. Their soul and their body goes back together. He recreates that old body and they get their new glorified body. Same time we get our glorified body. And all the church is going to meet in the sky at the same time and meet their fiancé, Jesus Christ. Just like Rebecca lighted off that camel and met Isaac there and saw him all together. All of the church, all the apostles, all them boys, D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, they're all waiting. Waiting on their glorified body. Their souls are in heaven with the Lord enjoying His presence, but they ain't got that eternal body yet because God is going to take this actual body right here and make it over into a perfect body when I go to meet Him in the air. If you really want to know the truth about it, we all meet in the rapture at the same time as far as our body's concerned. People say, well, if you beat me and go on to heaven, we're all going to get our bodies at the same time. They without us should not be made perfect. We're all going to get it together. A pearl can't be divided. Number 6, and lastly. When a pearl comes up, it makes a necklace or a crown for the coronation of a king. Turn to the book of Zechariah chapter 9. Let's get another verse. Zechariah in the Old Testament. Brother John will be getting us a song about the church. Zechariah chapter 9. Now Zechariah is almost to the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 16. You know what pearl is the most valuable? One that has no blemishes. Sometimes a blemish can be peeled away, worked off of a pearl. The pearl is smaller, but it's more valuable. And that's what God has to do to His church sometime. You ever heard them preachers say, every once in a while, every church needs a good old backdoor revival? Have you ever heard that? That means just sometimes a bunch of people ought to get out of the church. There's churches where a bunch of old dead, dry hides has held back the work of God for years and years and years. And the greatest revival some of those churches could have would be a backdoor revival where the Lord peels the blemishes off and let the real pearl grow. Notice Zechariah 9:16. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of His people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon His land. You think about it one of these days. As the Lord's letting us be peeled and shined and every trial and burden and stuff we're going through is just more luster forming on this old pearl. And we here at New Manna Baptist Church are a little part of the great big pearl that God's got in this world. And one of these days when the Lord gets it up there, the Bible said it's without spot or blemish. Absolutely perfect. Represented by heaven's gates. Shown by you and I. Aren't you glad that the Lord, I mean, all we are is a little piece of mud inside of a bottom of an ocean that irritated the oyster, and that's how we got formed. But God took it and made something wonderful out of it. Let's stand by our heads.
We're going to sing some old song tonight, whatever Brother John's got picked out. And I'd just like for us just to kind of rejoice a little bit tonight. That ought to make you feel special that you are a part of a precious pearl. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, don't ever let us take lightly being a part of your body. Lord, don't ever let us take it nonchalantly or not as if it were important. Dear God, we're glad that you came down to this old sin-cursed world, sought us out, and bought us, paid the price for this one pearl of great price. One day, someday, in heaven, we know that you'll set us up as an adornment of your crown, as a pearl of great price, without spot, without blemish. Help us, Lord, to live every day, keep the blemishes out of our life. Help that man, that woman, that boy, girl, who may be just dragging along and not really serving you like they should. Help them to put their life in your hands right now. Dear God, do something for us tonight. Put something within us. Thank you for your word. Enlightens us. Helps us to understand these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number?
175.
Number 175. Let's sing it tonight. Everybody singing. Everybody just lifting up your voice. Boy, I tell you, that'll sound good. Here we go.
To God be the glory, great things He has done.
Hey!
So love ye the world that He gave us, Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened a life gate that
come on, all sing.
Go
hey,
in.
Everybody,
praise the Lord,
hey.
Praise the Lord,
everybody.
Let the earth hear His voice, praise the Lord.
Big amen right there.
Amen.
Oh, if you're glad to be a part of that precious pearl, let's sing that second verse. Really ring it out now. Ring it out while we sing.
Oh,
sing.
Perfect redemption, the purchase of blood.
Yes.
To every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes. That
everybody, sing it!
Sing! Praise
come on,
the Lord!
Heaven.
Praise the Lord! Let the earth hear His voice! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Let the people rejoice!
Come on,
oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son!